is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
Hello, everybody. This is Debbie Powell, the Master Gardener Coordinator for both Calaveras and Tuolumne Counties, and I'm here at the Calaveras office today with the great fortune to be able to talk with Katie Johnson, who is our Nutrition Advisor for the Multi-County Partnership, which includes El Dorado, Amador, Calaveras, and Tuolumne Counties. And hello, Katie.
Hi, Debbie. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to see you. And I know you've been working on so many things. Everything that you're doing has so many layers and depths. But right now, you're also focusing on Harvest of the Month. And what is that exactly?
Sure. So Harvest of the Month is really just a simple calendar that we've put together for our local area here in the foothills of a featured fruit or veggie of the month. That's the harvest of the month. So every month people can find resources on everything from how to cook the food, choose the food, select it, grow the food, preserve that food, and really just highlight all the resources there are around a certain piece of produce for the month. And that produce is obviously in season. We've made it so that those things are able to be grown or easily sourced in our foothill area. For the most part, we can do that 12 months out of the year. So
isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
We're so fortunate. Mm-hmm. So what is the harvest of the month, say, for June?
June coming up, I'm excited about, is cucumbers is the harvest of the month.
Oh.
So cucumbers is one of my favorite summer vegetables because they're obviously so refreshing. They're just full of water. They're, you know, mostly water cucumbers.
Do they have any vitamins or nutrition? I mean, should we really be eating them?
They do. They're very good for us. Like across the board, all fruits and veggies are some of the healthiest foods we can eat. Cucumbers in particular are good sources of potassium, which is an electrolyte that helps us balance in our bodies our electrolytes. So that's not only are they filled with water, the natural electrolyte actually helps with hydration as well.
Oh.
So cucumbers are really great in summertime.
I didn't realize that. Because in the summertime, we have a tendency to maybe get a little bit lower as far as the electrolytes. I mean, because we're so active, we're out in the garden, we're busy, you know, in the heat.
You know, salt is our biggest electrolyte.
That's so
true. When you sweat, it's good to replace those. But you never really need to go drink, unless you're an elite athlete, you don't need to be drinking electrolyte replacement formula.
Oh, you don't?
Any of those
you don't need
beverages that?
That
you can buy. You really can do very well with eating a normal diet, but in particular, choosing things that do support those electrolytes. And yeah, cucumbers are a great choice.
Now, I mean, traditionally, I've used them in salads, but is that the way you maybe recommend to use them, or is there...
Yeah, there's all kinds of fun things you can do with cucumbers. And I'll start by saying, first, there's all kinds of different cucumbers, right? So one of the best things about growing them ourselves is we get to choose which of the fun varieties we want to grow. So, of course, there's your standard green cucumbers that you see in the grocery store, and those are great. Those are excellent vegetables. So if that's what you're sourcing, that's totally fine. But if you're growing in your own garden, you might choose to grow some of the fun other varieties that we can see, or if you're shopping at a farmer's market as well, you can usually find these at our local market. So lemon cucumbers.
Oh, I love that one.
They're about
that
the size
is so
of a,
good.
Maybe a large one might be a tennis ball size,
right.
And they're yellowish, and they have a real crunch to them. They're just very nice and crunchy, and you can slice those into wedges to have a nice shape to eat that way, or to dip. They're nice.
Oh,
I like to dip
to use them in some kind of dip. What kind of dips do you like to use?
So you can mix any cucumber, really. You can mix them with any salad dressing you like. You know, it doesn't have to be complicated. One of my favorite things to do is to take some plain low-fat yogurt. So that's the no sugar added yogurt.
No, just nothing. Plain. Just plain.
It's just the cultured milk. Yep. And you take that and I crush some garlic and add a pinch of salt and stir it up. And the trick to this really is then you have to let that sit. At least for like 20, 30 minutes. If you want to let it sit for longer, that's fine. But that allows the garlic to really flavor that yogurt. Mm. And you just end up with this nice garlicky yogurt. And just a pinch of salt helps bring the flavor out too. And then you just can stir your chopped cucumbers right into that just so it lightly coats the cucumbers.
Oh.
It's kind of similar to like, you know, the tzatziki or that traditional dish that you might see. But it really doesn't have to be more complicated than that.
Yep. That's pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can even do it.
You could totally do it. Another thing that's fantastic is just chopping cucumber, fresh tomatoes, and throwing in some olives and cheese, feta cheese. Mm-hmm. I mean, you actually don't even really need to dress that because of the saltiness of the cheese and the olives and the juiciness of the tomatoes. I actually just stir those things right together, and I don't even need to add any other salt or dressing.
That does sound good.
It's delicious and easy. You can make a fantastic quick pickle. So of course, if you want to can pickles, I'd refer you to our Master Food Preserver program, and there's all sorts of resources to do that. But I love to keep pickles around all summer long, and I do this for lots of veggies, but cucumbers are obviously great to pickle. So you just slice them up, put them in a very clean jar.
Okay.
You have equal parts of water and vinegar. I actually really like to use rice vinegar, but you can use standard white vinegar.
Why rice vinegar?
It just has a good flavor.
Is it a kind of a less acidic, maybe,
it's
than some of the other?
It just has a less assertive, sharp flavor.
Okay, sharp.
And I don't like a real sweet pickle, so by using that milder vinegar, I then put in less sugar. So I would use about a cup of vinegar and a cup of water and maybe a quarter cup of sugar and a tablespoon of salt. Just a, you know, mix all that together. If you want a sweeter pickle or if you're using the white vinegar, you might double or even triple that amount of sugar for most recipes.
Ooh,
but
that sounds
good. Because I do like to stay away from the sugar, and I just don't like the flavor of something too sweet.
Right.
Using that rice vinegar really allows me to drop the sugar.
That's a great
tip. Put that together. You bring it up to a light simmer, pour it over hot over the cucumbers, seal it up in a jar, stick it in the fridge. In a few days, it'll be delicious and it'll last quite a while in the fridge for like that. Some weeks probably.
So, but just to be clear, that's nothing you can store on a shelf and forget about it.
Yep.
Okay, so you do have to eat it. It's in your refrigerator and it stays there.
To think about it, you don't even have to use a jar. You can just use a Tupperware.
Oh!
No fancy equipment needed.
You can
any container. You just need to have the cucumbers in the liquid.
Oh, that sounds good.
And then you might not be tempted to leave it out on the counter.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point. Good point. Sometimes when you think it's in a jar, you think you're good to go. You don't have to do anything more. But no, great tip. I've got to try that.
And they're nice and crunchy, and you can keep them in the fridge for quite a while that way. So I'll make a big bowl of them and keep them around.
Oh, good. Now, with Harvest of the Month, is this something you're also presenting to children somewhere, or and how does that work?
Yeah, so across both of our counties, Tuolumne and Calaveras, we try to get the message about Harvest of the Month out in a number of ways through our UC CalFresh Nutrition Education Program.
Okay.
And also through partner agencies. So I've shared this calendar with others, and anyone is welcome to jump on the Harvest of the Month
what
bandwagon.
What would be a partner agency?
Oh, we work with the public health departments quite a bit, or just schools, or I know in Calaveras, the Master Gardeners, I think, are featuring the newsletter. So really anyone who's interested.
Yeah, and do the kids get a chance to maybe taste it?
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that's shown? I mean, just because I know with so many cucumbers out there, I mean, it's kind of fun to, you know, have something to taste.
Absolutely. So we always try to offer tastings whenever we provide nutrition education. We always try to have that food available for tasting as well, and especially with Harvest of the Month, that's a big part of it. So when we do go into classrooms or often into cafeterias, school cafeterias, and we feature whatever the Harvest of the Month is and have it, if it's able to be eaten in a raw form, so cucumbers, we'd probably just have a plain sliced cucumber.
Okay.
And we present it to the kids, talk to them usually about why it's healthy, what's fun, maybe some, you know, have they tasted it before or not? Just talk to them about the food. And really, we're just trying to get them familiar with the food. From my standpoint, what we're doing there is we're increasing food literacy. So that's a lot of
work. I love that term.
Yeah, it's a good term to talk about. Just being familiar with the food. So people aren't, you know, a lot of things we see on a supermarket shelf and we don't really know what to do with that, how to engage with it. We don't really, it's not really a usual part of something that we eat or think about. So really by increasing people's exposure to these foods and letting them taste them, especially for kids, then, you know, maybe they're more willing to eat it when it's presented to them later. Maybe they're more willing to try a new recipe with it. And, maybe they're more willing to try planting it in their garden themselves.
Well, that's true. That's true. Hasn't research shown that if they do plant it in their garden, they're more apt to try it? And I know there's a lot of school gardens out there.
And that's a huge part of how we engage with and get the Harvest of the Month message out in schools as well, is often we'll try to have the foods pulled from the garden that we're sharing. We'll talk about those foods.
Wonderful. And, that is so exciting. That really is. Now, how about July? Are you thinking ahead as far as what is going to be the plant for July?
Sure. So on the calendar for July is peaches.
Yum.
Not a hard one, right? Most people, you already know they like peaches.
Oh, but I know. I love peaches.
But it's still fun to talk about them.
It is. But you know what? There's so many different kinds of peaches now. I mean, there's cling peaches and non-cling peaches. I mean, everybody seems to have their favorite peach.
All kinds of different peaches, it's true. So if you go to a farmer's market at this time of year, there you can probably find, soon 10 dozen plus different varieties of peaches. And they are all unique, truly. If you do a side-by-side tasting or get the chance to taste them, some have red flesh, some have yellow, orange, white flesh. Some are actually pink-tinged now.
I haven't seen that.
Peach, but they have almost a pink tinge to them. I've seen those coming
on the market. Oh, my gosh. I've got to look for those.
Yeah, and the white peaches tend to have a more floral flavor. They're very sweet, sub-acid, just sweet. Sweet fruit. And then the red peaches are personally my favorite. I think they just have this very deep peachy flavor. And of course, the yellow and orange peaches are really that classic, very classic peach.
They're all great. I mean, but they are, like you said, they have these subtle different tastes and they're just really wonderful. How about recipes with peaches? Not that it needs a recipe, but if you did want to do something.
My favorite simple thing to do with peaches that, again, this isn't really a recipe so much, but it's just to grill them. So if you have a slightly firmer peach, you don't want them squishy soft to grill them yet. But if you get a slightly firmer peach, not rock hard, just firm still. And just go ahead and cut it in half and pit it. You don't need to peel it. Maybe just rub ever so slightly some oil on it so that it doesn't stick to your grill.
Really? Okay.
And just grill them. Just grill them over medium heat. It caramelizes a little bit of the sugars that are naturally in the peaches. Helps soften that peach, which is why you want to start with a firmer one to begin with.
Okay.
And is just a really delicious side like that. Just as is. So it's great with all different kinds of meat, especially
so it complements
grilling on the grill there. You can just throw some peaches on and that's a really easy fun side. They have a sweet and sour. You know, fruit naturally does have some acid in it, peaches do. So if you kind of think of it in that way, maybe
that's
a
good
as
way
a
to think about it. Right. Kind of that little bit, which is, I understand, is one of the most popular flavors ever, is that combination of sweet and sour. I mean, I know I love it, but
peaches,
they've got it all. Now, besides being so good, I mean, taste-wise, but what do they do for health? I mean, as far as nutrition, is there... I mean, I know there's a little bit of sugar, natural sugar in peaches, but do they have some other things that really are...
They do. So one thing I'll just note is we don't really worry about the natural sugar that occurs in fruits.
Oh, unless, what a relief.
Unless you're someone who really has to watch your sugars.
Okay.
So, you know, in particular diabetics, you want to talk with your healthcare provider and make sure you're balancing that. But for people who are healthy and eat a normal diet, we actually don't even, we talk now about added sugars and watching how many added sugars we eat. So
and
those are the
means...
sweeteners we add to food.
Okay.
Versus the sweet, you know, the sugars that are naturally occurring in fruits and vegetables.
Okay.
And, you know, those are just not something we're worried about because the fruit or the food, it's coming as a whole package. So we know when you're eating a peach,
right,
you're eating some sugar.
But right.
You're also eating a lot of fiber. You're getting a whole
that's
lot of water
true.
With it to hydrate.
Uh-huh.
Actually, you're getting a couple grams probably of protein. People don't think about those, but there's trace
peach?
Amounts of protein in fruits and
really?
Vegetables as well that come with it.
So you can know that.
Uh-huh. You can get all of those things with it. And of course, vitamins and minerals. Mm-hmm. Peaches, typically orange, has some beta carotene, or you can think
right.
about the color. As long as you're getting different
so
colors,
that
you're
makes
lots
sense.
Of different
beta carotene.
Mm-hmm, vitamins and minerals.
Okay.
So when you eat the peach as a whole, that affects how the sugar hits your system. It affects how you metabolize the sugar and how your body treats that sugar. So
it's nothing to be worried about as far as
natural
sugars, right?
Again, for most healthy people, it's really not something to
worry
about. And we generally say the more fruit and veggies, the better.
Right.
Be at least half of the foods you eat
over
the course of a day should be fruits and vegetables. So
for at every meal?
At every meal or just over the course of the day?
Over the course of the day.
We talk about my plate, and the healthy eating plate has half of the plate as fruits and veggies.
Right.
And that's a good thing to think about when you're eating.
Okay.
But really, it can just be over the course of the day.
Okay. You know what, Katie? We were going to talk about the month after that, but we're going to have you come back because we just simply ran out of time. But this has been fascinating, and we always love to talk with you, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Debbie.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
This is KAAD-LP 103.5 FM, Sonora, California.
Hello, this is Debbie Powell. I'm the Master Gardener Coordinator for both Calaveras and Tuolumne Counties, and today I'm over at the Calaveras UCCE office, which is located in San Andreas, and it's here at the Government Center. And I am talking to a Calaveras Master Gardener whose name is Janet Partridge. And Janet actually mans our hotline here in Calaveras County. Hello, Janet.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
And we're very appreciative to have Janet here. Janet actually comes in and does a lot of research and answers questions that are here at the hotline. But Janet, I first wanted to ask you a couple of questions.
Sure.
And one of them is, how long have you been a Master Gardener?
Well, right now, I think our Master Gardener's going on 3 years in Calaveras. I've always wanted to do it, and I retired about 5 years ago, and I decided this was the time that I got to do something I wanted to do. And so now I'm a Master Gardener, and I really love it.
Oh, good, which is great. And we love you having, we love having you be part of the program. And one of the things that's so interesting, because we have so many volunteer opportunities here in Calaveras, but you actually were very brave and decided to approach the hotline or the help desk where people from the public, and it's a, of course, it's a free service, they can call in and ask a variety of gardening questions, and you'll get back to them.
That's true, and hopefully we get back in a timely manner, but sometimes it seems a little slow, but we will return your calls. I love doing it. It reminds me a lot. I guess I was a banker, but I like doing the research, and the research is the fun part for me. I like getting on the phone and talking with people to see if we can figure out what their plant is, what their bug is that's eating their plants, or what the puncture vines, and we got one in front of us as a puncture vine, you know, what can we do with it? What kind of a plant is it? What kind of damage does it cause? And do get questions that are sometimes out of my scope that have to do with planting large acres or agricultural type plants, and it's not something I can particularly answer, but I certainly try to find somebody that can help them with it and give them phone numbers and other, we try to provide other services where we can get these people the answers that they need.
Which is great, and we can, I mean, with the university, we have a kind of a large base of resources available to us. We do have advisors, and it's actually our farm advisors that handle any commercial questions, meaning if you're right. trying to have a profitable enterprise, farming or whatever it might be, then we actually turn that over to an advisor. So we just focus on the home gardening questions. But
we encourage all questions to yes. come in. If you can't find it, we will do our best to see if we can at least give you some information maybe to go hunting yourself.
Right.
Or if we can know somebody that has that information, at least provide that. And with all the gardeners and the master gardeners in this area, there are people out there that are so good at what they're doing, planting. We have rose specialists and orchard specialists and all sorts of people that just have a wealth of knowledge way beyond some of my knowledge, and they always help me, which is awesome.
That's true. And sometimes when you're talking to some of the clients, I've overheard you mention that maybe it's a good idea to come to the demonstration garden and actually see the plant or see the situation in person, because that just is a wealth of knowledge right there, and talk to some of the master gardeners at the demonstration garden.
Yes, the demonstration garden is probably one of the best spots to come because of the number of master gardeners that are in one group together, and if they start talking to one of us, and we go, ah, I've got the person you should be talking to, then they can get over and they can sit down with them for a few minutes and give them some information on it and help them out with it. Or take, at the same time they do also at these master gardeners, they'll take slips and give them to me on problems that somebody might have with the pests and the bugs and the weeds and plants that might be dying if they don't have, you know, pictures with them. A lot of times we need pictures or plants so we can help identify them. I do need something to see.
You know what? I have to admit, I have been amazed at some of the work you've been able to do with some of the pictures we've received. And actually, and I hate to say it, I'm embarrassed to say this, but some of the samples we've given you. Because sometimes we start off with a fresh sample, and then eventually it does dry out, and then it's hard to actually tell what it used to be. So we're trying to do better with that as far as making sure.
And the research has been fun. It's just amazing what I can find eventually. It doesn't always happen overnight, but I try to keep looking into it to see if I can solve the answer. I will send out emails. I love having people's emails so that I can send you stuff, and if you say, nope, this doesn't look like what it is, then we can talk a little bit more about it, or we can get some better pictures and continue on with the conversation. So it doesn't just end with one phone call.
Right. It's usually a series of phone calls.
Yes.
To try to figure out
what it is.
Right, which is really great. And I know this, and I know you write everything down and you keep really good records. I'm looking at something that was sent in from a client, and I don't see that this client actually sent you a picture or anything. Was it just a phone message?
It was a phone message.
Okay.
And
it was, they had a question, and actually the question was identifying
weed. They wanted identification of the weed. They described it perfectly, and it was a puncture vine.
Okay.
She described what it was doing. She described the leaves and the way it looked. And so I pretty much knew what it was. So what I did is I go into, this one happens to be our website, and pulled up some information that I can actually give her the link to, or if someone needs to, I can, if you don't have emails or anything, I can take these and put them in an envelope and mail them to you, or you could come in and see me in the office if need be, and I could go over the paperwork with you. Like I said, the best thing is if you can have an email and I can give you the link to this, it will give you an idea of what we have, and it'll also get you into the system so that you can see the other things that you can do within our system and things that you can look at yourself if you'd like to do some research.
Right. Now this website, really nice. I'm looking at it. This is at the top. It's called the UC IPM, mm-hmm. and actually IPM stands for Integrated Pest Management
right.
website. And I'm looking at something that actually has over a sheet of information as far as regarding the puncture vine. It, mm-hmm. it's giving you pictures. It's showing you flowers. Mm-hmm. It talks about the habitat and actually as far as what seedlings look like. And it describes a mature plant. And then actually even what to do about it.
It does, and it has different steps here on identifying other kinds of weeds. It'll give you a list of how to identify them and what to look for. So this is a great website for that, and trying to figure out what you can do, how to identify it, and if there's a way to solve it. This puncture vine happens to be a considered a noxious weed in California, so anytime anybody can identify them and you know, eradicate them, it's a good thing. So we don't want these around. They cause damage to fields. They get in animals' feet and everything
oh,
else.
I
they're
know.
Really they're really a nasty.
They've gotten in my feet.
Right. They've gotten in mine. They're really a nasty little plant that can cause damage. Generally, they spread out on the ground, but if they're in fields and stuff, they will grow upright also. And so when you're walking along, it will not only get in your feet, but it can start
oh,
getting in your
clothes. Oh, you're right. You
could
be
animals.
Carrying it around.
Yes.
Right.
And so
once,
you spread it.
And right, because the seeds, they're right.
That's
the seeds are
going to
cause germination.
Yep.
Yes. Oh, no. I've had personal experience with it,
yep.
and I have to admit, it's on my list of some of the plants I hate the most.
and it, but unfortunately, it's, what's kind of funny is when the plant first starts to grow, it's kind of pretty looking.
It is. You're right. It is pretty looking. It's got a pretty little white flower, and it looks very innocent. But then it
gets really nasty.
It does. It gets really nasty. Now, I should mention that as far as Janet's here generally on Wednesdays from 10 to 12, but now that we're going into the holiday season, you know, of course, our schedule is going to be a little bit more erratic. It's always best if you're going to be bringing in a sample to make an appointment. And our hotline number is 754-2880 here in Calaveras. Now, if you happen to be living in Tuolumne County, there's also a wonderful helpline hotline, and that is 533-5912. So we have help available in both counties. But I'm afraid, Janet, that's all the time that we have today, but...
Well, I look forward to any questions you have, and trust me, it really is fun for me. So you're not sending me something I don't like doing, so please send your questions in, and we'll look them up for you.
Thank you so
Best
much,
we can.
Janet. And we'll talk again.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
You've been listening to Over the Garden Gate, a program presented by the UCCE Master Gardeners of Tuolumne County. I'm Linda Reevely. Thank you for being with us. If you would like to contact us for more information, remember you can contact our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912, or you can look us up on the kaad-lp.org website. Look for Over the Garden Gate. Thank you.